Looking for work? Better pay? Better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Those dogs will get pushed around, yeah. LOL.
Thanks,
but you know who won't?
Who?
Caleb Love.
Yeah, not at Louisville. Drummond, you can tweet all you want. It ain't happening, big boy. You can tweet all you want.
I don't know why you're sold on this.
And James Strebel.
I don't know
because
why
because it's Kenny Payne, Andy. They stink. Why would you leave a disappointment for a bigger disappointment? For like a colossal, historic disappointment. Why would you do that?
Hang on. I'm writing this down just so I
you
know.
You can write it down just, all day I mean, long. Well, you can write it in stone like Moses and the Ten Commandments.
Moses?
Yeah, he could chisel it in stone on the side of a mountain. He ain't going to Louisville.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I'm getting the feeling, too, Will Levis is going to fall in this draft. We'll get to that later on. Your mic's not on. It's okay.
Oh,
Did you not know that your mic wasn't on?
I started talking. I was like, that sure sounds funny.
Hey, you got another hour or so. Bob Pennington, we've been talking about this. We talked to Mike Fisk earlier from Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. Bob Pennington, who is just like a man above all men. He was actually one of the first Green Berets to enter Afghanistan after the 9/11 attacks. His story was recreated in the movie 12 Strong on Netflix. And Horse Soldier is the bourbon that he is signing there. And supposedly it's very good. And so I know there's a good crowd up there at at Evergreen Liquors in Prospect. Go meet Bob Pennington. You still have an hour or so. All right, let's talk some college basketball. Kyle Boone joins us from CBS. Kyle, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm excited to talk some hoops with you.
Well, man, we're jacked up as well. I'll actually be on Westwood One's Radio Row for Thursday and Friday, so that's always a good time. Talk to some coaches and get the feel of Houston, and then I'm out of there. I won't be sitting in the skybox for the game or anything because our teams don't make it, Kyle. As you know, Kentucky, Louisville, and Indiana, they don't make it anymore, so you know, it's fine. First weekend, we're done. You know, vacations for everybody anymore. Where were you? I can look in CBS Sports, and I know what your Final Four was. As this tournament has went, what do you feel like you got right? And then obviously, what are the things that just absolutely surprised you over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I haven't done a full postmortem, what I've done right, what I've done wrong, because I know the list of things that got wrong is incredibly, incredibly long. But I know I was on Florida Atlantic coming into the NCAA tournament, and I caught some flack, I think, because I picked Florida Atlantic to upset number one seed Purdue and to go to the Sweet 16. And at the time, it's like, ooh, that's a bold call. Well,
right.
Purdue didn't even make it out of the first round. And I think FAU would have won that game anyway, the way that Purdue was playing. But, yeah, I think we've learned a lot about FAU. They've won 35 games this season. They're only two-point dogs in the Final Four. They're very experienced. They rely heavily on three-point shots. And so, yeah, the style they play, I think, is really interesting. And that, to me, has stuck out. UConn just dominating in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, I think, has also stood out. I picked UConn to go to the Final Four. And that was a really tough region to make it out. And they did get some breaks. Kansas was able to duck out and kind of pave the way for them there. But they're 17 to reach the Final Four with four straight wins of 15 or more points is UConn. Two of those previous six that are in that company, including UConn in 2004, went on to win the national championship. So they're in pretty elite history as far as just how well they have played. So that has definitely stood out, and you look at the betting markets right now, UConn is the heavy, heavy favorite to win the national championship, and I think if you kind of reassess the landscape, it's pretty obvious that should be the case.
Kyle Boone with us here on ESPN 680 1057. Yeah, I mean, so if this works out and like UConn wins, what's the story to this season? What's the story to the Final Four? As some of these historic coaches have bowed out, and others, you know, Rick Pitino out of the coffin at Iona, into the coffin at St. John's. We love Ricky P, but he is a vampire. We love him though, Kyle. Like, what's the story to the season? No McDonald's All Americans in the Final Four. Like, I want to ask you, how do you build a team? All these, you know, teams have done it differently. It's not like Kentucky's going to look at FAU and say, "Well, there's how you build a team for the Final Four." Right. I'm trying to grasp here what that would be. I mean, to me, UConn would move up, what, past Indiana in titles. That would be one of the huge takeaways from the season.
Yeah. You know what? To me, I think the story of the NCAA tournament is kind of the story of the season writ large, which is parity in college basketball we've never seen this much of it. Last year, we had four blue bloods in the Final Four. It was Duke. It was Carolina, it was Villanova, and it was Kansas. This year, it's Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, Miami, and UConn. Three of those four teams are first-time Final Four participants, and no one really was picking any of these teams. And maybe some people are picking UConn, but no one was really picking this group to go to the Final Four. So we've had a lot of upsets in the NCAA tournament. We have upsets every year, but for the most part, the best teams typically rise to the top. I think we've gotten some really good teams that have risen to the top, but I would argue that probably some of the best teams just got into a 40-minute game. That a lot of things can happen. It's a little bit random. And now we have this constellation of teams that is just like no one would have anticipated that these four would be the Final Four standing. But parity in college basketball. I mean, this is the second year. This year was the second time we ever had a 16 take down a one seed. We had a 15 seed make a run. That was Princeton. So anyone can beat anyone on any given night. That feels like kind of the takeaway of the season.
The Matt Painter loss was sad as a 16, but we used to work with a very snobbish Virginia fan. The Virginia one, because it was first, still takes the cake, if you will, for me. Would you agree with that? I still treasure that one more than I actually feel bad for Matt Painter. I actually kind of feel bad for Purdue. I celebrated Virginia. We nearly did a post game show.
Yeah. Virginia's loss to UMBC was bigger because Virginia at the time was the number one overall seed. Now Purdue's a one seed. Don't get me wrong. It's very much a terrible loss. And actually, according to the odds, like Purdue was actually a bigger favorite over its opponent, which was Fairleigh Dickinson, than Virginia was over UMBC. But still, Virginia's meltdown, just completely historic. First time a number one seed had ever taken a loss to a 16 seed. Then they go do the same this season. They're not a number one seed, obviously, but they go into the first round of the NCAA tournament, the four seed, and get beat by a 13 seed in Furman. That's kind of the wrap, I think, with Virginia and some postseason failures. Aside from the national championship, some postseason failures over the last couple of years.
Kyle Boone with us here from CBS. Okay, so your picks, obviously, San Diego State and UConn are going to be playing on Monday night. I believe you have UConn winning the national title. But how do you think, what kind of games do you think we'll get? How do you think it kind of plays out this weekend? I'm interested if these are going to be kind of rock fights, but great endings or great games, or we get a blowout or two. I don't know what to expect coming up in Houston.
Well, San Diego State, Florida Atlantic feels like it's going to be a game where you were going to wish that you took the under. Feels like it's going to be a rock fight, kind of a barn burner. San Diego State's 4-0 against the spread in the NCAA tournament. All four of the games that they've played have gone under. The highest total that they had was 135 when they played Alabama, which was at the time, I believe, the number one offense in college basketball. So I would expect that that's going to be a low-scoring game. Florida Atlantic, as I kind of alluded to at the top, they rely really heavily on three-point shots. 37% of their shots and their total points are comprised of three-pointers. That's 25th nationally. That's highest among the four teams that are in the field. And they face the number two defense in San Diego State that is the very best at defending the three-point shot by team 3-point percentage. So that to me is going to be an interesting matchup. No one has really been able to shoot it from three at a high level against San Diego State in the NCAA tournament, and that's no fluke. So how FAU is able to adjust and if they're able to make threes, I think will be a big story. On the Miami-UConn side, it feels like everything has been coming up UConn. Miami, meanwhile, is just kind of chugging along. They feel like people are writing them off. They go into a double-digit deficit in the second half against number 2 seed Texas, able to escape and win fairly comfortably down the stretch. So this is going to be really interesting. I mean, Miami has its guards playing, I think, as well as just about anyone. Jordan Miller had 27 against Texas. Isaiah Wong and Nigel Pack have been really good. The size that UConn brings to this game, I think, is going to be overwhelming, and it's a big reason why I'm picking UConn. They're number 2 in college basketball in offensive rebounding percentage. Miami is not a very good rebounding team, so I think UConn will get a ton of second chance looks, and I don't really think they'll need the second chance looks. The way that they've been playing of late, I mean, Andre Jackson has been really good. Jordan Hawkins, he kind of looks like Steph Curry running around trying to make shots, and he's been really impressive. So the depth of this UConn team is very overwhelming. They have dominated in the NCAA tournament. I would expect they'll dominate in the Final Four and in the title game, regardless of who they face.
Yeah, I want to get just quickly to San Diego State in a second because obviously the regional, the South Regional was here in Louisville, and I went on Sunday, and defensively, they are quite the team, and I want to ask your opinion on the end of that game. You know, all the numbers, you got to be top 20 offense, adjusted efficiency, and defense. We talk about that when we're picking our brackets. Who can go to the Final Four and who can win the fifth and sixth game to win a national title on Monday? And Miami does not have the defensive numbers at all. They absolutely had the offensive numbers, but it feels like, Kyle, you know, one of the main storylines has been defensively. They've been better in the tournament than they were at stretches during the regular season. Do you buy that? And I mean that does matter in the analysis probably a little bit. It's too bad they're playing UConn, I guess, in the semifinals.
Yeah, I think it matters to some extent, certainly. You want to get your units playing as best as they can at the right times. Certainly their offense is humming at an elite level. I would argue probably just their offense has been able to bail them out throughout the NCAA tournament in ways that, you know, they did throughout the season in ACC play, but really not to this level.
No. I mean,
Jordan Miller was 7-for-7 from the field against Texas. He made 13 of his 13 shots. He did not miss a shot. That's something that only Christian Laettner has done in the last 30 years. So the efficiency that they're running their offense with is really impressive. And I always feel like when I'm sizing up a bracket, which teams have the best constellation of guards? The guys who can really create shots when kind of the chips are down. And Miami definitely has that combination that you really, really like. And it's probably why a lot of people were overlooking them, because they didn't think maybe that the regular season success that Miami had would maybe translate. But their guards have been fantastic. The Jim Larranaga has been so, so good at making adjustments. Defensively, I think they've held up for the most part. The numbers say it's pretty good. It's definitely better than the regular season. But I think, to me, the credit goes to Miami and what they've done on offense. But their guard play, it seems like they're all kind of firing on all cylinders at just the right time.
Do you believe we're in it? Kyle Boone with the CBS. Kyle, do you believe we're in an odd spot? Like, I'm trying to figure it out myself in college basketball. Like, is the day and age of the big time coach, maybe, as some of these legends have moved on? I mean, we just had the Blue Blood Final Four. Now we have this one. Is it a blip on the radar? What does it say about building a team, you know, with the extra COVID year and with transfers and with getting guys from mid-majors? I mean, Miami has been been able to do this with their big. You bring him from a mid-major, suddenly he blossoms at the ACC. I mean, and we're doing this a lot with, obviously, as Kenny Payne builds a team. But, like right. You know, this year, the last 2 years, John Calipari's had an old team, and they have done nothing. They won one SEC tournament game and one tournament game. They didn't do anything, and this year he's bringing in freshmen. And there hasn't been a freshman-dominated team that's won since, what, the last Coach K run through the title? So, like, I don't know how you build a team. People say, well, you got to have guards. Okay, but these teams have bigs. I mean, San Diego State, they're scoring 50. They want to score 55 points a game. They want to play the way they did against Creighton. FAU shoots threes, guard-oriented with Miami. I don't know. I look at the Final Four, and I see a bunch of variety, and I think some of those narratives might be going away.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, I think the best way to build a roster, and mind you, this is coming from a guy who works on his couch, not a college basketball coach, but to me, the best way that you can build a team is a blend of both tactics. You want to build through the transfer portal. You want to blend your roster by developing in-house talent, and you want to try and mix in one, two, maybe three elite freshmen. Bill Self last year led Kansas to a national championship, and that's basically the accumulation that he had on his hands. He had a really good big man in David McCormick, who was a senior. Jalen Wilson was blossoming at the time, was still only a redshirt sophomore. Christian Brown was really good, and he had been there for several years. Ochai Agbaji was a senior. Mm-hmm. That class was really old, but they also had some young contributors as well that were able to make a difference. KJ Adams was really good in that run. DeJuan Harris was a guy that they really relied on. So, to me, I think the best teams and the best programs will be able to adapt some sort of combination of both tactics. You want to try and land big names out of the transfer portal. That's obviously very important and a theme of the Final Four. You also want to strike big on the NIL front. If you can't pay your dudes, they're going to go somewhere
else. You're done.
Plain and simple. And so I think it's going to take some programs longer than others to adapt that and to figure it out. But the ones who do, the ones who are able to master that market and really be able to reel in top-end talent, I think we'll have more success more frequently and kind of set the standard for what is probably likely ahead.
Last one, you wrote, Kyle Boone with us from CBS, you wrote about Bronny, and, you know, he's got to choose what he's doing here, whether he's going to college or not. He's at the McDonald's All-American game, of course. You know, you talked about his rankings and everything else. What do you find interesting about this last year or so with him? He's not doing any media at the McDonald's All-American game, so, I mean, I don't know. He's got to make a decision here at some point. What do you make of I would say all the hoopla, but I feel like we haven't talked about him at all here. I kind of forgot about him, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's definitely bizarre, and he's not done any media basically during his entire recruitment.
Yeah.
And he's his own celebrity, so I kind of get that. Like, this dude has I don't have Instagram, but I know he has lots of followers on Instagram and across social media. So he's very famous. He's decided not to talk about his recruitment, but this is a guy who, like, he's LeBron James' oldest son. There's a lot of attention that's going to be paid to him. And for years now, he's been a guy that when I talk to talent evaluators, they say he has elite IQ. He knows how to play the game. He doesn't quite have great size. And he maybe isn't the athlete that you would expect LeBron James' son to be. And over the last year or so, he's really blossomed. He's grown just a little bit. He's figured out some of his shooting. He's a more natural combo guard. And he's a really good passer, playmaker, creator, very selfless with the basketball. And a guy who I think will be kind of a connector at the next level. Now, I don't know about his NBA prospects. There's people out there that believe he is, no doubt about it, one-and-done first-rounder.
Right. Some don't.
I think he's a very – yeah.
Yeah, some don't.
He's a very – very highly touted recruit, top 40 in the country, Memphis, Ohio State, USC, Oregon, among the programs who are after him. I would be shocked if he didn't go to USC, just staying close to home would make a lot of sense with the way that family has operated. But he has given zero indication where he's going, so it's very fascinating to watch.
Oh, come on. Give the media gas bag something. Come on. Come on.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, Bronny. Kyle, appreciate the time, my man. Enjoy all the games on Saturday and then the national title game on Monday. And we'll catch up down the road. Appreciate it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you all.
All right. Thank you. There we go. Well, Kyle Boone
good
on
stuff
a,
there.
On a Tuesday, yeah. Talking some college basketball.
He didn't have, he's kind of like everybody else. Is like, I don't know what to think of this Final Four or the coaches or
well,
the...
If we didn't have blue bloods around here, I'd be like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we actually have totally blue, fine. Yes.
But we have programs around here.
We have historic programs.
Well, used to be. You know, yeah.
Like, yeah. We used to be like, oh, yeah, this is fun because we're the best of the best and we're going to be in these tournaments
we're not
and these
the
late
best.
Games and we're not right now.
We're not the best at anything.
No, we're the best at disappointment.
Yeah, well, right now, yeah. Right now.
You know what we're the best
at? Off-season hype.
You know what? That's undefeated.
We're no one's better than us.
No.
I put Kentucky and Louisville fans up against anybody. I do.
You throw Indiana
in
there?
Kidding. No, I don't care. They're back Gabe Cups.
They're back to Gabe Cups?
I mean,
you tried. Look, I'll give you credit. You tried to give
back
Indiana
them.
Their year. You did. You tried to back Woody. You tried. I mean, you love TJD.
Yep.
And you gave him every chance.
I know.
Every chance to be the star of this show.
We didn't even crush him.
No,
we didn't even crush him.
We kind of gave him a pass.
We promoted him almost. We were going to do, if they made it to the second weekend, we were going to do an IU postgame show.
Yeah, sure.
With Jack Grossman in Atlanta.
We'll send him a Comrex, you know.
We're not sending him a Comrex. He has a Lucy app.
He does have, you're right.
Him an $8,000 Comrex to do a show at 9:45, an IU postgame show.
Woodson.
Yeah, a Mike Woodson press conference.
He's gonna have Teagues on just to talk about the game.
I mean, we were gonna do Hoosier Sports Radio.
Yeah, we're gonna do HSR.
Who they lose to? Maryland
oh,
and somebody else.
God, who they
lost
beat?
A couple games
got,
at the end.
Was it Miami? Did Miami beat the pants off of them?
That's who beat them in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. They
85-69.
Miami beat the pants off of them.
Two guys showed up. Hood Schifino and TJD. And that's it.
Yeah, I think in the Big Ten tournament, it wasn't Maryland. They beat Maryland. I can't remember who they lost to, but it was like...
Did they beat Maryland? I think they did. They lost to Penn State.
Shrewsbury worked them.
Shrewsbury. Then he got the job at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame coach.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
The Irish.
Hey, guys, I need to tell you about our friends. And you hear their commercials, and it's totally true. You don't want to just scare the bad guys away from your home or business. You want to put them in jail. You want to get them arrested. Okay? If they're stealing your stuff, make yourself safe and secure. Your home, your business, whatever it may be. And trust who I trust, Sonatrol of Louisville, SonatrolKY.com. If you want to talk to a person, boom, you can. 966-8999. They do security and so much more. It's a local family-owned business now for more than 35 years. Google them. 5-star ratings, the highest ratings in the state of Kentucky. It's SonatrolKY.com. 966-8999. It's Sonatrol, SonatrolKY.com.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
come on, muscle through it.
But then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist.
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
At times, the only thing the assistants are there is to take his place in front of media. I mean, to me, that looks like their biggest role right now.
And James Strebel.
Instead of him facing the media the night before the SEC tournament starts, he sends Brewster out there, Bruiser, or whatever his name is.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, so back at it on this Tuesday. Reminder, I'm off tomorrow. Strebel will have you. the entire way through.
Being Avery Dill.
Yeah, there you go. Doing radio.
Yeah,
there you go. I don't know what else to say. There you go.
Weird Wednesday. Definitely on the docket.
Yeah. You're damn right it is. So that'll be a weird Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then on Thursday and Friday, we'll be hanging out at Westwood One's Radio Row, hanging out with you. I also want to tell you, today... yesterday and today had a meeting, and Strible, this is going to be something that's up your alley. We are going to start doing shows at 502 Hemp and 812 Hemp. Now, the 812 is Lewis and Clark.
Okay.
Right by the Kroger on Lewis and Clark.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know exactly with the gas stations right there and everything else. And so we're putting together copy points, but it's a company I'm excited to to be working with. And again, if you want to find out what they do, is educational. They want you at 502hemp.com, 812hemp.com to go on there. Those are their two websites. They have the two locations, one in Indiana, one in Louisville. And I mean, they're telling you what the product is, how it can help you, what is right for you, what is too much for you, what is too little for you. Can it help your animals, your dog, your cat? All of those are questions that I had. Plus, so many people, whether it be Delta 8 or Delta 9, are traveling distances. Michigan, Illinois, you don't have to do that. Local stuff, local people, family-owned company, 812hemp.com, 502hemp.com, and you can find out everything about them, everything they have to offer, from the CBD oils to the CBD edibles to, again, the Delta 8 and Delta 9. That's their product right here in the area. And so find out more about them on the website, 502hemp, 812hemp, and we're going to be telling you more and more about them here in the coming weeks and months. And we're probably going to be at the one on Lewis and Clark here sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm on their website right
now.
Well,
there you go.
Checking things out.
People's already there.
Just looking out. That's some
stuff.
Whether
it's pain, anxiety, whether it's stress,
sleep,
any of those things, they have tons of products, and they know their products. They know exactly what they have, what they can be used for, how much to take, those sorts of things. And so, they're going to be a part of the show, and we are happy for it. Now, I have a couple things here. I have a couple things. Hang on.
Okay.
I have three or four things that I want to get to. Okay.
All right.
I have what I believe to be perhaps the greatest tweet of the week.
Wow, it's only Tuesday.
Okay. I'm willing to go all in on a Tuesday afternoon.
Okay.
It's our guy, William Caudill.
Okay.
James doesn't know who that is.
Okay.
William is the photographer for Blank's website, Blank and Baker's website. He's referenced...
Crunch Zone.
Yes, the Crunch Zone. He's referenced him a few times. He was there in Seattle, I believe. Yeah, he was there in Seattle with the Louisville women and the Iowa women.
Oh, okay. So he was during the Caitlin Clark game.
He had some feedback.
Oh, and I like that.
You know, Louisville fans are like, Bob did a segment today. Like, why are Louisville fans mad that they're talking about Caitlin Clark?
Well, they're salty.
And I'm like, ask your son.
Yeah, ask Nick.
He's part of the propaganda machine. Ask your son.
He's right there.
He's right there. Well, he wasn't there today, but tomorrow he'll be right there.
You can ask him. Hey, Nick.
Nick had like a plumber come by. I don't
know.
No. Shocker that Nick's house has plumbing issues.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, good point. I mean, that's on the bingo card.
No offense, Nick, but that's not a layup,
surprising.
Brother. Yeah.
You whizzed in a
shocker.
Sink. It's bathroom problems. All this poor Nick just has bathroom problems sprout up around all the time.
It's not poor Nick. I think he creates these problems.
That's a good point.
Well, I think that's the point.
It's just No, you're right.
It could be
right.
Old plumbing, or it could be Nick. It could be Nick.
Yeah,
it could be Nick
eating a lot of food and
then using the bathroom a lot. Yes, thank you. We don't have to totally dive into
it. No, we don't have to.
Anyway, and I lost my place here. Hang on.
So yeah, William Caudill and some Caitlin Clark stuff.
So apparently. This tweet came out on ESPN that I guess someone at U of L said something, and she basically said, "You're down 15, shut up."
Oh, I think it was Haley Van Lith.
It may have been HVL.
I think it was her. Yeah, I saw that clip.
And Carl Dell said that this was today. This was 12:18 a.m. today, but it's 12:18 a.m.
Okay,
the hours of the morning. And he is blank like.
He's his Blank's disciple.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a Blank disciple.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, when you work for Blank's website, I mean, you're gonna have some Blank tendencies.
Yes, we have to.
You have to. Yes.
He says, example of the impression I got of Clark up close. Incredibly talented, but unlikable.
Oh.
Walked out with some recruits and moms and all mentioned how disappointed they were with how Clark carries herself. She's still young, but needs to mature. WNBA will crush her.
Oh, my gosh. William Caudill, what are you doing? Look at James likes that. He's laughing over there.
Oh,
yeah. What's he doing?
So that's a tweet of the week. You got to do better than that.
I don't know if
that's
you can.
That's what I throw out
that's
there.
That's the gold standard.
That's what I throw out there.
Yeah, that's the gold standard right there. I love that. I just like.
I do, too.
Because I do remember that video now. Was he thinking the same thing with when HBO was popping off after her game?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
so, no, oh, okay.
No.
She's fine. She's mature enough. She, you know, she can say whatever she wants. Yeah, she carries herself well, but not Caitlin Clark.
One of them's like, she's going to own a company and run it the right way. And I'm like, you guys can just watch basketball.
Who?
Someone on Twitter, man.
Said it about who? Haley Van Lippe?
Yeah, HBL.
She's going to own a company.
Yeah, and I'm like,
what?
You know, just watch the game.
We don't need societal takes.
Just watch the game.
Yeah, just watch okay. them and say, wow, great play. Whoa, they won. Hooray.
Texas says, do you think Locke's going to pay Elon the $7?
Yes.
No, Carolyn will.
No. Okay. You know what? I spoke
the McLean's
soon.
Will.
The McLean family will pay for the $7.
Texter says Shrewsbury is a fellow Jeffersonville native. Yes,
absolutely
he is.
Absolutely he is. That's right.
Texter says at 4:15, Kyle said their unit, mark that.
All right. There we go.
Texter says Nick Neal. Okay, not going to read that one.
All right. Ugh.
Well, I mean, it has to do with pipe. So there
yeah,
you go.
This is pipes. Clean the pipes.
Pipes.
Yep. Okay.
More like Lane. Pipes.
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Texas
wow.
says, I'm just trying to find good ones.
Sometimes it's difficult. More days than than you'd like.
Basically. Texas says, when's the last time Rig changed a poopy diaper? I mean, it's been years.
Oh, gosh. I mean, the twins are 8, so it's been about seven years or so. Yeah, they're about to be 9, so about 7 years.
7 years.
It's been a while.
There you go.
It's a chore.
Well, there you go.
It's not that bad. It really is.
437-9680. Okay, so a couple different things. So I wanted to throw that one out there, and then I wanted to throw to you, and I didn't see this sound anywhere, so I got to be honest,
mm-hmm.
and I know I didn't prep you for this, but Mark Stoops, did he throw
yes.
a fit?
Yes.
Can somebody help me here? Was Mark Stoops mad over the weekend?
Yes, he was. He threw a little bit of a hissy fit after, I believe it may have been Saturday's practice. He came out to the media, talked to the media. I mean, I'm sure, you know, that Jeff Drummond was there. Nick Roush had a microphone in his face. And, you know, the usual suspects
absolutely.
Are there at spring practice. And Mark Stoops said he was pissed off.
All right, well, here's the quote.
Okay.
We got a bunch of guys that are entitled. This is Saturday.
Okay, Saturday,
We got a bunch of guys that are entitled that don't work extremely hard. I'm not real pleased. We've got no leaders right now.
Yeah. No, he was not. Hey, called dudes out. He was not happy at all with the way the practice went. And the scuttle is, it's the younger guys. Like, they're getting that NIL money. They're okay with kind of how things went last year. There's not, like, a chip on the shoulder, like, hey, we should have been better than 7-5 or whatever they ended up. And that they're just, like, kind of loafing it at practice. But here's the thing. Mark Stoops does this every year. He does it every spring. He does it every summer.
Oh, football coaches do this all the time.
They love to do this where they walk off the field. I just don't like, we're not good right now. If we played against anybody, we wouldn't win a game. We're going to go 0-12. These guys are entitled the way Stoops did it. It's just the Stoops thing. All these football coaches do it.
Those are harsh comments, though.
No, they are harsh comments.
I mean, they don't work extremely hard. I mean, that's something.
That's not, no, he does this all the time, but I do believe there's something more to it. I think he had a bad taste left in his mouth the way that season ended. And you could see, as you saw, you were at the game. You saw the disappointment even though they beat Louisville, on the sidelines,
absolutely.
On the field, even in the stadium with the fans. Like, it's like, yeah, it ended with beating our rival
again.
Well,
the fans were all L's down.
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
It was just way too many. I've never seen anything like it. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it.
Wait till
the amount of L's
Louisville
down.
Stadium next season. But, like, Stoops, like, the way he... The way they ended the season, I know he... I guess he thought they'd come in with a little more desire, a little more like, okay, we got to get back to what it was, you know, the year before and the year before that, to where Kentucky was in contention to win 8-9 games. But the problem is, and I think Stoops knows this, like, this schedule isn't the same as last 2 years'
schedule. You have four losses on your schedule right
now.
Well,
that's exactly.
Yeah, you have four losses right now, and you're aimed for right now if everything goes best-case
right.
scenario. And Devin Leary, I'm trying to fit in 10 minutes of football talk here.
Sure.
Mike DeCourcy would be the entire hour.
Right.
He also said, quote, "I'd like to be a player-led team, but we're not, so we've got to step up. We as a coaching staff better lead because this group can't."
Yeah.
What I find interesting is not that he's saying it, because I'm with you. Coaches, and you know Stoops can be moody, and it's whatever, okay? And it's March. So, right. I'm, you know, it's the middle of right. spring practice, so I'm not losing my mind. But what I find to be interesting is, much like there was a cleansing going on with U of L basketball and
yeah.
Kentucky basketball, we'll see exactly how much that cleansing goes. I thought it might be even a little bit more. I mean, Kentucky football is doing some of that.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, some of the young players, and I mention a Dane Key or a Barry and Brown, were very much the young guys, and now they need to grow up. And I would imagine if Mark Stoops is looking at that offensive line, like, Kentucky for 4 years, three, mm-hmm. 5 years, something like that, had an identity, okay?
Yeah.
They had, now, it wasn't always the prettiest identity, but they had an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's interesting about all of this is they don't.
You're right about
you
that.
You don't.
Yeah, you're right about
okay,
that, 100%,
now,
yes.
I think the defense should be pretty good.
Yeah.
But again, Alabama, Tennessee.
Georgia.
I mean, listen, I know you're laughing at Louisville, but Jeff Brom, I mean, that's not Scott Satterfield.
No, I agree with that.
I mean,
yeah.
Jeff Brom is a
yes.
competent offensive coach.
Absolutely.
Scott Satterfield is a goofball.
He's a goofball.
He's
no.
a goofball.
Absolutely.
Especially in that game, he's a goofball.
Every
okay?
year, he's a goofball.
So, again, yeah, that doesn't mean Kentucky's losing that game.
But I know
what
you're saying.
I'm saying, let's
yeah.
not act like that hasn't changed just a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay? I view Kentucky. And, you know, Cole Kubley did his podcast. He's got his own video podcast. I mean, everyone does now.
Yeah.
But he basically said Kentucky, and it's a generic take, much like, you know, there might be four, five, six other teams in the SEC. Are these teams that are very much a coin flip? Are they
sure.
7-5 or are they 9-3?
Yeah.
And if you ask me, I would almost say they're 7-5.
Which I get. Yeah.
Just because I'm going with... Quarterback has had injury issues.
Yeah, his entire
okay,
career.
But
yep.
I absolutely could see Leary be better than Will Levis last year.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You lose C-Rod, and you lose, to me, a big physical dominating back. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Cohen comes in. Mark Stoops gives up some of his identity.
Sure.
Last year, he did not have to do that. Mark Stoops had to do it for about 8-9 games the first time around with Liam Cohen.
Right.
And then the second time around, he brought in goofball
Scangarello.
And what did he do? He told Scangarello the way we're going to play.
Yeah.
And they were hampered by injuries, and we understand all the other nonsense with it. But they got to find out who they are.
Yeah.
Like, how is this going to look on the field with a new crop of defensive players? How is this going to look, this offensive line that just let the team down?
Big time.
Will Levis down. How is it going to look without a running back? And the kid from Vandy's good, but, I mean, they have
He's
had
not
running,
the same kind
they
of running
have
back.
Had running backs to where you just run up the middle and C-Rod's breaking tackles.
Yeah.
Benny Snell was breaking tackles. Okay? And, who they're going to be, Stoops giving up control to Liam Cohen or not giving up control to Liam Cohen.
Which could be a story.
I would imagine that was something they talked about, the reason Cohen came back to Lexington. So this stuff doesn't matter too much. But other years you have felt like they have had a baseline of veterans that you could count on. Like, they're at least going to be this. And I say that with the 6-7 wins, whatever it is, there's talent, but figuring out who they are, who those leaders are, all of that stuff. I don't know. I'm very like wishy washy on Kentucky this year. Well, I have no idea what to really think of them.
I mean, I agree with you. I think the defense will be pretty good, but I mean, you're losing DeAndre Square, you're losing Jacquez Jones, you're losing Keydron Smith, Carrington Valentine. I mean, those are big time players for Kentucky.
Yeah.
Last season, even though like Square and Jones had their injury issues, they had big games. And then on the offensive side of things, I mean, like you said, C-Rod was their bread and butter when things weren't working, when Levis was hurt, when Levis was inaccurate and couldn't do things because he was hobbled and injured. They just hand the football off. And it just, I think Stoops was waiting for them to take control and say, yeah, this is how we're going to play. This is our identity as a team. And they're just not doing it. And there are a lot of new faces. I think that's another thing. We've had so many years of Kentucky football where we had guys that mattered.
There's been comfort.
Continue to come back.
Yeah, there's
Josh
been comfort.
Josh Pascal comes back. Josh Allen comes back. Darian Kennard comes back. I mean, they had such a run. And it was actually astonishing the way they were able to get some of these guys to stay as long as they did and even play in bowl games like they did. They don't really have that anymore. I mean, even Will Levis with a little bit of that last year, like him coming back was a big deal and set the team up in a way. It's like, okay, we saw the flashes of it. It didn't work the way they wanted it to, but this is a team now where you can't lean on old reliables like you used to. I think Stoops may be struggling with that a little bit, and the young guys too.
Texter says Nick's plumber. All this from a slice of gabagool.
Oh yeah, little Tony Soprano.
Texter says Big Dog has some recruits at KS Bar today from Cincinnati.
Oh really?
That's not true. I mean, come on.
It wouldn't surprise me if it were.
Is that true?
I don't know. I haven't seen any tweets. I don't know if Big Dog.
I'm looking at his Twitter right now.
Do you
hang
see
on.
Anything? Anything
well,
good?
Hang on. I just logged on.
Having the Ryan Lemon Club?
I mean, I'm not seeing anything.
Okay.
I did see him retweet Jerome Tang.
Oh, did he?
I mean, what do you think Cal likes about that?
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Which Jerome Tang did he retweet? The one where he went to the locker room and said...
No, one of the ones where Tang's dancing in the locker room. You've seen him.
Wow.
You've seen him.
He retweeted him. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did. A couple days ago.
Man, that's... I mean,
how about that?
The Cold War between Kentucky football and Kentucky basketball, you would think it would have been over by now. But there's still some poking being done, some tweaking being done here between the football and
there's
the basketball.
There's some poking being done.
Little
what kind
poking,
of poking's going on?
Poking the bear.
What's going on? Who's the bear?
I don't know. In this situation, I don't know, Andy. Barnhart.
Is he hibernating?
That's why he's a bear. He's hibernating.
Texter says, Andy, you slobbered over Satterfield. Stop it. No, I didn't.
No, he didn't. He did
slobbered
not.
Slobbered over Satterfield?
He did not slobber over Satterfield.
That was a lie.
There was never. Even when he was hired, like, you and Locke were like the only few people that were like, who's this guy? When the rest of the station was falling in love with him, you and Locke were the only two like, I don't know if he's going to be any good or not.
I never picked him to win the Governor's Cup.
Not once.
No, he did better this past year than I thought he would do.
Yes.
What's today? Tuesday? I need to find that Satterfield.
It is Tuesday.
It's
yeah.
in the show sound folder, James. Let's see here.
Oh, so there is some Satterfield.
It's nothing. It's just him talking. Oh, it's him at spring practice.
I kind of want to hear that
country I know.
Voice.
That's why I'm hurrying to get it.
I want to hear that Boone County.
You got it? All right, you go ahead and play it. Here's Boone County.
Hey, man. Hey, nice job out here. The one thing about it, on both sides of the ball, we got to compete our tails off. Compete your tails off because you're making each other better. All right? Sometimes you're going to talk a little smack and all this, but you never lose sight on what we're out here to do is to get better. All right? Which is doing your job, lining up, and doing what you're supposed to do. All right? Because the other stuff don't even matter. All right? And we got to strive to be perfect. We got to strive to be perfect. We'll never be perfect. We're going to strive to get there.
Oh, that's so bad.
We'll never get there, but we got to strive to get there. And you always got to think that way.
You know what? Wow. You know what he is.
What
you may know this in your line of work.
Yeah.
Okay. Like maybe there's a traveling teacher who goes and presents school to school.
Yes.
It's like doesn't change anything. Okay.
Right.
That's
the same presentation.
The same. Like I'm like if this is the 20th time that Satterfield has been in front of the team, and it's more than that.
Right.
The same speech that he used at U of L and App State. for the 20th time he uses at his new school. It's all the same.
Yeah, it never changes.
It's all the same.
And that I think that's why they bought in the first time.
No one's buying in. Well, no one in Cincinnati's buying in.
No. That's what I'm saying.
They probably are.
That's why he went 8-5 or whatever, 8-4 his first season, because the players were like, oh, wow, this is different. This is nice. And then he keeps trotting out the
same
speech.
They had a snake rat as their head coach.
Yes,
okay?
a rat with the cheese, the visor, and a cheese
and a play card.
And a tail.
And Nick Petrino. There's a lot going
on. Whiskers.
It was great. There was a whisker. It got caught in the mic.
Petrino with whiskers. And they heard Speaking of, is Blank
having Gunter Brewer's son up for Derby?
I hope that's the case.
Kentucky Derby 149.
I don't know. We need to reach out to Mark and
Diener,
ask him.
What's going on here?
He probably won't answer since he's on vacation.
Who, Blank?
Yeah, Blank's on vacation.
Blank's on his phone. Yeah, it would be my guess. Well,
he was tweeting about Lamar Jackson like 2 hours ago, so...
His take is just pay him whatever.
He should just get the money.
Just pay him whatever. Just give him all the money in the world. All the money.
Yeah.
All the money in the world. The most money.
But there's no one.
Locke's battling him.
I saw that.
Locke's battling Mengus. Locke right now is battling against Lamar.
Yes.
Shocker. Yeah. Against Mengus and Blank. That is Jon Snow-esque.
That is an
army of warriors running at you. And Locke, you just have your little tiny banana sword.
With the peel still on it.
There's a piece of sound, Locke's tiny banana. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it.
Oh, there is. I don't remember this. I don't remember Locke's banana. I didn't
save that.
I didn't know there's banana sound. But none of those guys are going to back
down.
I don't know why.
You're sinking right now. No, you're sinking right now. Like, it's okay.
Innis is not backing down. Blankenbaker's not backing down. Locke isn't backing down. They're just going to fight till the end, and Lamar's going to get a job, and then we're going to hear how great of a job he did selling himself to whatever
you're probably
team.
Right.
Oh, he didn't need an agent.
He did the best he could. No one did it better than him.
Yeah, he did it all on his own. He didn't need anybody else. He got, you know, $500 million or whatever it is.
I don't know why my audition is taking so long, but I do have here. Turn me up here, James.
Did we find it?
Okay. Everything's taking a long time. I do have, here we go. Here's
the tiniest banana that she had ever seen.
I brought a mini banana to Spectrum yesterday. Tiny banana. I did. Everyone was so intrigued by my tiny banana. Everyone was so intrigued by my tiny banana.
You think if you had a tiny? Never mind. I don't think
he did. Used to bring in those tiny bananas though. They're like literally 30-40% the size of a normal banana.
Where did you get a tiny banana?
Probably.
Like Whole Foods or something?
Probably just the most ritzy place that Carolyn found. It's the only thing I can think.
That has to be it, because there's no one. I've never seen a small banana. I've just seen normal bananas, like plantains. They're not bananas, but they're bigger than bananas in the banana family. James is like, what the hell?
Yeah, he's
confused.
Watch
the episode of Seinfeld where Kramer got kicked out of the fruit market. And he sent Jerry to go buy his fruit. And the fruit guy's
and the guy knew he bought it for him.
Because he bought plantains.
He kicked him
both
out.
He's like, plantains. He's like, I know who this is for. This is for Kramer. You're out of here.
Texas says, Satterfield sound is like Michael Scott going to all the offices giving his motivational talk.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Texas says Big Doug did have recruits there about 11 o'clock during the show. That's fantastic. That makes me happy. Thank you for that.
I can't imagine this. Oh, look who's here. Like, there's like they didn't have it worked out before.
Let's take a break. On the other end, Mike DeCourcy will join us. We'll talk some college basketball with him. We will not talk about Locke's small banana. And we'll talk some hoops. We'll do it next 5 o'clock hour coming up on ESPN 680.